This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day where there are still great issues regarding freedom of speech. There's a school district where a lot of people on the staff wore masks. That's good. They were supposed to. That's what they've been directed to do. But some were criticized because they wore a mask with the thin blue line flag. That's the American flag on the mask with a thin blue line through the center of it. It indicates support for the police. What happened to those people? Well, they got in trouble. So what happened to people who literally the next week wore T-shirts, including staff members, that said vote on them and then had slogans for Black Lives Matter? We will get to that issue. First up, it is a great honor and privilege to have again on the show Heather McDonald, who is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's a contributing editor of City Journal. She writes frequently for the Wall Street Journal. She is also a New York Times best-selling author, and her perhaps best-selling book ever, of many of her fine books, is The War on Cops. Heather, always great to speak to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Michael. I appreciate it.
Okay, first of all, there's a great deal of discussion, and we talked about it yesterday, about the numbers from Seattle, where I live and work, and the numbers from Seattle are horrible in terms of the murder rate. The murder rate is almost double what it was in 2019, and a lot of people are saying, well, that has nothing to do with cuts in police staffing. It has nothing to do with efforts to defund and defang the police. It all has to do with a pandemic. Do you buy the idea that a pandemic, where more people are staying at home, where more bars and restaurants are closed, that that should actually increase the murder rate? How does that work?
No, it's preposterous. In the early months of the lockdowns, in March and April, crime was way down because people were not on the streets. The victims were not on the streets. Crime started going up after the George Floyd riots, when it was quite clear that law enforcement had been utterly emasculated. You had mayors like Durkin in Seattle and elsewhere basically telling the cops to back off. The message was sent as unambiguously as possible that this country no longer had the will to enforce the law, as we saw in 2015 and 2016 with what I called the Ferguson effect. Criminals became emboldened. When the police back off, criminals know they can start carrying guns again without getting stopped, and the results are utterly predictable. The only thing that is not following the model that we saw in 2015 and 2016 is that this is about 100 times worse. This, we are going to experience this year, I can tell you this, Michael, I'm going on record, this will be the largest one-year increase in shootings and homicides that this country has seen in decades. It is just astounding what is going on. The cops are demoralized. They are assaulted on a daily basis. They've been shot at, run over, hit with fiery projectiles, bottles, rocks, you name it. They get out of their car to make a lawful car, a pedestrian stop now. They're immediately surrounded by hostile jeering crowds. When you delegitimate the police, when you tell them they're racist for fighting crime, you should not be surprised that they're going to do less of that essential proactive policing and crime goes up.
It's not just Seattle. We talked about Minneapolis. Minneapolis, they are in the midst of major cuts in police staffing. Why? What I know the excuse for what they're doing in Minneapolis is that we're going to have the police respond to actual violent emergencies. And other than that, we're going to send teams of social workers and people who are better able to handle domestic disputes. What's wrong with that logic, saying that, well, we're going to use the money we save by sending a lot of these police officers into retirement and devote that money to focusing more on mental illness and people who can handle relationship disputes? Why is that a sure route to failure?
Well, I've never been to a police community meeting in a high crime inner city neighborhood, whether it's Central Harlem, South Side of Chicago, South Central Los Angeles, where I haven't heard those good law-abiding people beg for more police protection. I have never heard people in high-crime neighborhoods say we have too many police. The latest poll that came out of Pew showed that 80% of black voters wanted either more police in their neighborhoods or the same amount. They did not want to defund the police. The idea that we have too many cops on the beat is ridiculous. We've got the retirements, early retirements are through the roof right now. People are leaving the force. They're telling people not to come back on. If social workers want to go into domestic violence situations by themselves, they're welcome to do it. We will get assaults on social workers. What I object to is the argument that's often made is that, well, we're going to keep the cops just for responding to violence. What they're not going to do is low-level misdemeanor enforcement, the so-called broken windows type offenses, quality of life, like, you know, drinking in public, urinating in public, turnstile jumping, graffiti, hanging out, brawling, disorderly conduct. Those types of infractions are absolutely essential that the police respond to, because it's out of the low-level misdemeanor crime that higher-level felony crime emerges. So, you know, if we want to have this experiment of not sending police to emotionally disturbed people or domestic violence, I've sort of let it happen. But what concerns me the most is what's going on now across the country, which is in the name of avoiding disparate impact, that the essential public order offenses are being rejected by prosecutors, and cops very often are being told by their chiefs just to turn away.
Okay, when you talk about people being told by their chiefs to just turn away, yesterday on the show we covered this amazing story of a restaurant owner named Tim Mahoney in Minneapolis. And he had basically, when he was allowed to open up his restaurant after a lockdown, he did so, and the first day a bunch of kids arrived in SUVs, and they didn't want to buy anything. They took their own liquor with them and just took up all of his tables that he had opened up outside and were blocking the entrance to his restaurant. What is a guy like that supposed to do? He tried to call the cops. They said, no, we don't handle this kind of thing anymore in Minneapolis. Is this a national trend, too?
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. Yes, absolutely. I don't know what the situation is. This is in Minneapolis. What's going on is, it's to avoid disparate impact. We are not enforcing the law because doing so will have racial disparities, because there is much, much higher crime in the black community. The police don't wish that reality. It's the fact.
That's a victims and perpetrators, and the victims deserve our support. That's the case that Heather McDonald makes. Please read her excellent new piece on the censorship of the coverage on black-on-black crime. It's at the City Journal, and it's listed on our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back. I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where Clear Play comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, Clear Play can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more, and you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com, because Clear Play loves good movies. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
And on the Michael Medved Show, don't forget your opportunity, and it's a terrific opportunity financially to save a ton of money on the complete Medved History Library. This is some 80 different titles. It totals more than 100 hours of programming. And all about the history of this great country, 60% off right now, special holiday sale. MedHead members have a 50% off opportunity regularly. And by the way, great time to give a MedHead membership. You can give a gift certificate as a holiday gift. That reduces your cost with the MedHead membership to 11 cents a day. But 60% off you get now for a special holiday sale if you go to michaelmedved.com and click on the holiday sale at MedVed History Store. The former President of the United States, Barack Obama, actually spoke about some of these issues involving policing that we have been talking about, that we were talking about with Heather McDonald. And President Obama actually had some things to say that had a feeling of common sense on a podcast where he appeared promoting his new best-selling book, of course, A Promised Land. Here is what President Obama had to say.
If you believe, as I do, that we should be able to reform the criminal justice system so that it's not biased and treats everybody fairly, I guess you can use a snappy slogan like defund the police, but you know you've lost a big audience the minute you say it, which makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes you want done.
Okay, this is, of course, true. Use a slogan that says defund the police. Now, of course, there are people on the left who have pushed back against the president, including Sonny Hostin on The View, where she actually dared to criticize the sainted former president. Clip 15, Jeremy.
You know, I'm always loath to criticize President Obama because I'm such a fan, but I do think he's wrong here. I mean, when you think about defund the police, that's not a term that was crowdsourced or tested in focus groups. You know, that's a term that was born a rallying cry. It was born out of this over-policing of black and brown communities, born out of the frustration of seeing black and brown men and women killed in the streets by police officers. And defunding the police does not mean, for the 100th time I've explained, it does not mean eliminating police departments. It doesn't mean stripping agencies for all of their money. It's reimagining policing in this country to address systemic racism. We defund school programs all the time, and they call it defunding school programs, yet no one seems to have a problem with that. But people all of a sudden have a problem with defunding the police, that term. And I don't think you should allow people to co-opt the movement and tell protesters what language they should use. I think, you know, President Obama was a community organizer, and I really think that he, you know, knows better.
Okay, this is outrageous. Can you imagine somebody using a slogan that said defund the schools? It probably wouldn't be very popular, would it? It would indicate that one of the most important of all public institutions, you want to take money away from it at a time when that money was needed more than ever before to deal with a pandemic or something else. Of course you can't use defund the schools as a slogan. If you want to say reimagine the schools, fine. Say reimagine the police. But when you say defund the police, what you're saying is you want to dismantle this crucial institution, which is needed more than ever now, to guarantee public safety, particularly for communities of color. The Ilhan Omar has also pushed back on President Obama. This is unbelievable. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib both insisted today that they fully intend to follow through on their promise to end racist policing. Omar shot back on Twitter to President Obama now. We lose people in the hands of police. It's not a slogan, but a policy demand. And centering the demand for equitable investments and budgets for communities across the country gets us progress and safety. Okay, how is it progress if you have increased the crime rate in your community. How does that make any sense at all? It's unbelievable. It makes no sense at all. And Ayanna Pressley, who is also a member of the Squad, said that she's out of patience with Obama's rhetoric. Quote, "The murders of generations of unarmed black folks by police have been horrific. Lives are at stake daily. So I'm out of patience with critiques of the language of activists. Whatever a grieving family says is their truth, and I'll never stop fighting for their justice and healing." Okay, how is it justice and healing to reduce public safety? The percentage of black young men who are killed in gang violence is many, many multiples of the number who are killed in confrontations with police. And how do you deal with this pandemic of gang violence, which is going on? I mean, 700 murders in Chicago so far this year, and most of it gang violence. How does that have anything to do helping that situation by making the police a target instead of addressing police as part of the solution? There's also this issue, which is remarkable, about Pelham, a school district in a very comfortable suburb. It's in Westchester County, I believe, of New York City. And the New York Times reports on it, and they say, what happened when a school district banned thin blue line flags? Here's the story. In late October, administrators in a suburban New York school district told employees that some of their apparel was making students feel uncomfortable and threatened. At issue were masks showing the so-called thin blue line flag, which signals support for the police, but which has increasingly been used to display opposition to the Black Lives Matter movement, which rose in opposition to racism and policing. Wearing the symbol violated district policy prohibiting employees from expressing political speech, officials said. The logo, a black and white version of the American flag with a single blue stripe at its center, could no longer be worn by staff members. Days later, a group of employees of the district in Pelham, New York, appeared at work wearing shirts bearing the word vote and the names of black people who had been killed by the police. And that was fine. No objection. And that prompted accusations of hypocrisy and political bias. Solange Hansen, a black and Latina woman who moved to Pelham last year, said people are taking this hard line. All of a sudden, overnight, you see these thin blue line flags on people's lawns. You see them in people's businesses. And that makes it really hard for people of color. How does it make it hard for people of color to actually see support for the police? And making it hard for Congress to do its job? We'll be speaking to one of the leaders of the Congress, the new one and the old one, coming up on the MedVet Show.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support, and it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms can mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Finally, this week, we're seeing cracks starting to form in the Democratic leader's stone wall.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's optimistic that a new coronavirus stimulus package can be done before everyone heads home for Christmas. The Kentucky Republican continues.
We need to put partisanship aside and get more bipartisan, targeted coronavirus relief out to the American people.
Georgia's Secretary of State says it looks like all the counties will make tonight's midnight deadline for the recount. Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger saying the recount isn't exposing any big issues.
We have seen no substantial changes to the results from any counties so far, and that's what we expected.
Raffensperger also saying interest in January 5th runoff election is very high. USA Radio News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show. I am proud to welcome back to the show one of the Democratic leaders in the House of Representatives, which will continue to have a Democratic majority, though a somewhat reduced Democratic majority. Adam Smith is serving his 12th term, just won re-election, and he is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, facing a bundle of challenges. One of the most immediate, Mr. Chairman, has to be the defense appropriations bill, where there was a threat by President Trump to actually veto the bill. What's going to happen? Are we going to get that bill enacted before a potential government shutdown about a week from now? What's going on?
Well, I'm optimistic we will, and actually it's the defense authorizing bill that the president put the veto threat on, not the appropriations bill. The defense appropriations bill is being wrapped into the, there's 12 separate appropriations bills. Defense is one of them. It's being wrapped into that. The defense authorizing bill is the bill that my committee, the Armed Services Committee, puts out. And we've got an agreement, Republicans, Democrats, Mitch McConnell, Jim Inhofe, me, Nancy Pelosi, we're all good on it. The president, for bizarre reasons, has decided to go after this social media liability issue, which they raised to me like 3 weeks ago. Mark Meadows called me up. It's the first I've heard that they had any concerns about it at all, and now they want to stick it in the middle of the defense bill. It's got nothing to do with the defense bill. It's a very complicated issue. You can go a lot of different ways on it, but you certainly shouldn't at the last minute say that you want to, this has to be in the defense bill. It wasn't in the House bill. Wasn't in the Senate bill. It's got no business in the defense bill. Defense bill is important and should not be vetoed over an issue unrelated to it. So I'm hoping the president will change his mind on that. The Republicans in the House and the Senate are with me.
Okay, what happens with the issue of Confederate generals being honored in base names? I know that the Army itself is against it, wants to change the names of those bases. I know that you do, too. Where do we stand on that?
We actually had gotten agreement on that to accept the Senate language, which mandates the bases will be renamed and puts a commission in place to carry out that mandate. So it's a good bipartisan agreement. It's something that originally the president had said he didn't support, but now he withdrew his veto threat on that. So we were able to get the language that will change those bases, and I'm pleased with that outcome.
Okay, well, that's positive. And concerning the prospect of heightened tensions regarding Iran and the prospects for continued Middle East peace efforts, what is your committee doing to support current efforts toward Middle East peace?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot our committee can do at this point. I think it was really crucial what we were able to do in defeating ISIS and the role that we played in working with partners in Iraq and Syria to beat back those extremists. And, you know, it was a program started in the Obama administration and carried out, continued in the Trump administration. It was quite successful. And I think that has been helpful, and that's a key part of it. Iran is a more difficult thing. And look, I don't think we should have torn up the nuclear agreement. I mean, the basic argument is that, you know, we want to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, but they're also doing other stuff that's bad. And I agree with that. You know, Iran is involved in Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Yemen. They're doing a lot of bad stuff in a lot of bad places. But, you know, we haven't been able to stop them doing that under either the Obama or the Trump administration. So having them now, you know, free to pursue a nuclear weapon is even more destabilizing. So, I mean, thus far, we've been able to keep a lid on it. I think an open conflict with Iran would be a mistake for us and a mistake for the region, and we've been able to avoid that. And I hope we continue to do so. And we are exercising oversight. We're in conversations with the president back a couple of years ago now. I think it was a couple of years ago, when Iran shot down that drone of ours, and there was discussion about how to respond to that. We had good consultation with the president about the appropriate way to respond to that. So thus far, we've been able to avoid that. But I think a war in the Middle East over Iran would be a huge mistake for all involved. I'm going to continue to do my part to work with the administration to hopefully avoid that.
Okay, there's talk about a war in the Middle East. There was a full-page ad today that appeared in the Washington Times that called on President Trump to impose martial law and to involve the U.S. military in staging a new election. And I take it that you might have some questions about the use of the American military to run an election?
Yeah, let me just say this as clearly as I can. What the president is doing on the election is straight up insane. It is dangerous and, frankly, the most destructive thing any president in the United States has done in the history of this country. You know, the election was, I don't know, reasonably close. I mean, it looks like the president's going to wind up losing by almost 7 million votes, 306 electoral votes to what I can't do the math in my head here,
232.
But, you know, it was not close. And as Bill Barr himself said, there was no fraud. The president lost, and he is attempting to tear down our Constitution and shred it because he didn't want to lose. Look, you know, close elections are difficult. The Democrats just lost a congressional seat in Iowa by 6 votes. Okay. And that's painful, and that's difficult. But that's an election. That's the outcome. The bedrock of our country isn't that Donald Trump is president or that Joe Biden is president. The bedrock of our country is we have a representative democracy and an electoral process that elects a president. 4 years ago, there were some in my party who were saying, oh, Trump's not the legitimate president. Or I said, he is the legitimate president. He won. These are the rules under our Constitution, and he won. To continue to carry this out, I mean, all across the world now, democracy is in jeopardy. A lot of people are questioning the wisdom of it. And I think that's because we forget what authoritarian governments like communism and fascism are like and how terrible they are. And I hope that Republicans will wake up on this one and not support these calls to shred the Constitution. The president lost.
Adam Smith, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, what can you offer to people out there who really are concerned that the election was marred by vast fraud. What can you say to help bring those people together, to help bring the country together on this issue?
Well, what I can say is, well, two things. First of all, on the election itself, there's no evidence. I mean, look at what Rudy Giuliani did. Trump-appointed judges, the Trump-appointed attorney general, Bill Barr, many people have looked at this. What I can say to them is accept the facts. And the facts are there was no fraud. If there was any evidence of it, it would have been provided to the court by now. There was no fraud. The election was free and fair. So you don't have a beef in that regard. So that's number one. But number two, what I'd say to all parties involved here, our politics has become too personal and too destructive. And this is on both sides, on the right and on the left. And, I'm going to work with whoever I have to work with in a representative democracy. I'm a Democrat. I got the things I believe in. But the number one thing I believe in is politics is supposed to be about bringing diverse groups of people together to solve problems. It's not about, okay, this is what I want. Now, how can I jam it down everybody else's throat? That's not what politics is supposed to be about. You've got to work with people. You've got to work with people you disagree with. You've got to find ways to compromise, find ways to function as human beings. And in both right and left, I mean, we see it in Seattle. We see it in places where, Trump supporters and Republicans are shut out, not listened to, denigrated. And that is completely wrong. So what I would pledge is, while I disagree on what actually happened in the election, I'll pledge as an elected Democrat to keep doing what I've been doing, and that is, work with my party to make sure that we are inclusive.
And that's Adam Smith of the state of Washington, just reelected to the U.S. Congress, chair of the House Armed Services Committee. We'll be right back with a movie that is viewed by some as a cartoon version of Trump supporters. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kanger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Michael Medved Show during this holiday season, and it should be a season of joy for all Americans. A sad note, which is the passing of someone I'm proud to say was a friend of mine, and a truly delightful person to spend time with, by the way. Walter Williams, Professor Walter Williams, who I got to know him because he was a regular guest host for Rush Limbaugh. At the same time, I was a regular guest host for Rush Limbaugh. And Walter, one of the leading African-American scholars, really in the nation's whole history, was a tenured professor. He was the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University in Virginia. And he's the author of over 150 publications. His books are terrific. And he was a great soldier in the ongoing fight for liberty. And he will be sorely and seriously missed. And it is a shame to see his departure. I'm sure we'll have opportunity to speak more about Walter Williams in the days ahead. But he should rest in peace. His memory should be a blessing. There's also a very important point, which is made by Jason Riley, who himself, of course, is a leading black scholar and commentator. And he writes a piece on how to understand Trump's Democrats. And Jason today says that he actually reviews a book called Trump's Democrats. It's by Stephanie Moravchik and John A. Shields. And he quotes them saying, "We are struck by the fact that the dominant explanations of Trump's appeal all have one thing in common. They all assume that something must be seriously wrong with Trump enthusiasts." They write, "Trump won, we are told, either because of racial prejudices or economic distress or various diseases of social despair, such as drug abuse, family breakdown, and suicide. Thus, in these accounts, Trump voters are driven by resentment or anger or desperation. How else could anyone cast a vote for Trump? Though it is never stated explicitly, such views rest on the assumption
that any well-adjusted, healthy, flourishing citizen would reject Trump. And let me state for the record, I know I am friends with many healthy, well-adjusted, constructive, flourishing citizens who are very enthusiastic in their support of Donald Trump. Ms. Mrazek and Mr. Shields argue that cultural and geographic isolation may explain why Trump supporters have been such a conundrum for pollsters and the Washington press. And when you talk about geographic isolation, I think that might actually come to some of this idea of the shy Trumper, of people who are very positive about Trump but don't want to get into it. Because, frankly, even in places like King County, Seattle, right, you're talking about more than one in four. I know it's overwhelmingly not pro-Trump, but more than one in four people who live in King County voted for President Trump. And it's a lot of people. And yes, we all know them. And the assumption that somehow it represents a defect in character or a lack of intelligence or a lack of sophistication or a lack of education, it's why I think all the emphasis in dividing voters according to college degrees or not. First of all, there are brilliant people who never got a college degree. One of, honest to God, the smartest people I ever knew was my uncle, my dad's older brother, who passed away. It was a big, big event in 1975. He passed away a long time ago. He never graduated from high school, never went to college. He knew everything, knew seven languages, and was completely self-educated, and that can happen. And the whole idea of stigmatizing Trump voters as people who are losers and unhappy, I think that is deeply problematic. And it does relate to one of, I think, the most discussed movies that are out there right now. It's based on a very much discussed and a far superior book called Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance tells his own story. And he's a child of what he says with hillbilly roots. His family was from Kentucky originally, and then he moved to southern Ohio. And definitely a blue-collar family, and his mother had all kinds of problems with drugs and with alcohol and with 15 different husbands or partners, which made it very hard to grow up. And J.D. changed his life by enlisting in the Marine Corps and then later going on to Ohio State and later winning admission to Yale Law School, where he was mentored by Professor Amy Chua, who's been a frequent guest on this show and is a friend. And J.D. wrote this wonderful aspirational book. It's now a movie that really concentrates on a different aspect of his upbringing. The movie, Hillbilly Elegy. Listen to this quick review.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Amy Adams plays a self-destructive mom who's addicted to booze, pills, and irresponsible men in Ron Howard's big new screen adaptation of the acclaimed bestseller, Hillbilly Elegy, now streaming on Netflix.
You let her get away with this every time.
I told you that I would do best.
You always say that. You're lying.
I always try.
At some point, you're going to have to take responsibility.
That's Glenn Close as Mamaw, the chain-smoking matriarch of this grotesquely dysfunctional clan, in an emotionally intense but often incoherent movie that unfolds in a series of occasionally moving but mostly muddled flashbacks. The main character, author J.D. Vance, is making his way through Yale Law School, but the movie wallows in his appalling one-dimensional Appalachian background rather than dramatizing his own against-the-odds ascent. Rated R for language, drugs, and lots of domestic violence. 2 stars for the well-acted but disappointing Hillbilly Elegy. And part of the problem is that with all the flashbacks, you have to kind of assemble it like a jigsaw puzzle. Because it's not like, okay, we're going to flash back to the beginning and then we move forward. You flash back a few years and then you flash back a few more years, then you flash forward a little bit. And yes, it makes it difficult to watch despite the outstanding performances. Glenn Close, by the way, has been nominated 7 times for acting awards and never won. She's been nominated more often than anyone who's never won. And this may be her year, depending on how people respond to the rest of the movie. Let me mention that we are welcoming a new sponsor for this holiday season, and it's a wonderful cause. It's called Next Generation Ministries, and they have concentrated because of the conscience of the people leading this ministry on really saving lives in Uganda. And Uganda's had a tough generation, and more than a generation. But it is one of those African countries that has some hope, some faith, and some people whose lives you can change for very modest contributions. For $40, you can feed a hungry child in Uganda for an entire month. They've been hit particularly hard by COVID-19. They were not prepared for it. There are families that are totally disrupted. The entire economy has been totally disrupted. $200 can feed a family of 5 people for a month. And when you imagine what that means, you can actually see the pictures that they will provide you with at Next Generation Ministries. Check it out at our website, A Time for Food Relief, and a time to give in the honor of someone you know, or to give very directly to this cause. Next time, we will welcome Michael Eric Dyson, who is one of the intellectual fathers of the Black Lives Matter movement. He has a program for racial redemption worth considering. We'll consider it tomorrow. And then there's a new attempt to change the 13th Amendment. That was Lincoln's amendment that got rid of slavery. Why do they want to change it now? We'll find out next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.